Prepare yourselves, Bucs fans. Unleashed from the corporate shackles of the Tampa Tribune, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter is finally free to speak his mind. That's Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton himself. The Ira Kaufman podcast is presented exclusively by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa on Fletcher, just west of 275, and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, Brandon's only luxury dealership. The best ever summer sale event is on now at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Turn up the volume, put up your feet. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on at JoeBucksFan.com.
Halftime of the preseason already on the Ira Kaufman podcast here with the custodian of Canton himself, Ira Kaufman. Ira, how are you? What did you think of the game?
I'm doing well, Steve. You know, in perspective, what Dirk Cutter said was absolutely correct. They keep score, so you might as well win the game. But, Steve, nobody is going to remember a sloppy contest in August when the regular season rolls around. The important thing is the Bucs are healthy. And that's no small thing. As you look around the NFL, guys are going down left and right, whether it's in games or in practice. There's a lot of luck involved. So far, fortune is on the side of the Bucs. Buc fans have to feel good about that.
Yeah, a tremendous amount of luck involved with that. Darryl Smith hasn't played, you know, this
They were cautious with Martin
week,
and McCoy.
But I got to talk to Smith in Jacksonville. He didn't practice there either, but he's fine. Assured me that he's fine. And big picture, yeah, they don't have any legitimate injuries. So that's a bonus. But you know what? We all know looking back that the preseason is almost always meaningless, but there are always signs. There are always signs. And as you love to say, the 5-year lease on the NFC South basement, one of my favorite lines.
I'm never giving that up until they get out of it. You know,
you can't. 5-year lease, though, we're forced into looking for signs of positivity. What did you really like, or what maybe you really loved that you didn't write about yet?
The offensive line bounced back in a big way, Steve. Even with Doug Martin sideline, their best rusher. Everybody who ran the ball Saturday night ran it well. There were holes there. I was particularly impressed, Steve, with the right guard, Ali Marpet. He could have a big, big second season. He's rough. He's tumble. He's physical. He shields guys off. I'm looking at Marpet to have a big, big season. If the Bucs do well, I think he'll get some Pro Bowl consideration from Tiny Hobart. That's not a bad feather in Jason Light's cap. Steve, for your listeners and our listeners and our readers, Steve, I want to talk about something that doesn't get talked about a lot, and it's involved with the tight end battle, and it's involved with Roberto Aguayo. And by that, I mean, Steve, the dynamics behind the scenes that don't get talked about often enough, and this is what I mean. Seferian Jenkins, he's on the way back. I was right. You were wrong, Isbits. You said the battle was over. Stick a fork in ASJ. But I told you at the time, not so fast, young man. And the reason I said it, the investiture. You got to look at the GM. Now, is he going to make the call? No. But Cutter and Light are tied to the hip. You know, Light picked Cutter. If Light didn't want Cutter as the head coach, he wouldn't be the head coach right now. So there's got to be a little reciprocity. And by that, I mean, this guy picked ASJ in the second round. You can't bury him without giving him a chance. All things being equal, ASJ should have that job. Now, I mentioned in my column, Steve, you saw it, Brate picked a bad time to have a lousy game. It's only one game.
Sure.
I understand that. The other part of it, Steve, is the dynamic with Aguayo. You think Buck fans are concerned?
Before we get to Aguayo, I can't let that go. I can't let that go, Ira. Because ASJ, now look, I'm not buying the hype. I'm not buying what Dirk Cutter was selling yesterday, saying that ASJ is back into the mix.
He's trying to motivate him.
How about this? Is he trying to motivate Brate? Why are we thinking automatically it's ASJ? I understand the investment you're talking about, but maybe this is to snap Brate out of a couple of day funk. I don't know. But logic, Ira, tells me this guy, ASJ, has been trouble from the get-go. Mentally weak, physically weak, hasn't had a good camp, and all of a sudden he's the flavor of the week. Something's not kosher.
Steve, your line would have a lot more merit if Brate was having a lousy training camp. and he was trying to, you know. This is the first time we saw a chink in the Braid armor. Not that he's Tony Gonzalez.
Sure.
I understand that. Now I'm going to move on to Aguayo after I slapped you around a little bit on the tight end situation. You think Buck fans, Steve, are concerned or frustrated about this kicker? Put yourself in Jason Light's spot. Now, Steve, his draft resume is pretty darn good.
Very good.
It is. Quan Alexander, stud pick last year. Stud. He went with Winston over Mariota. Looks good. Looks good. Not that Mariota's a bum. He's not. He's going to be good if you get him some more weapons. But trading up to get that kicker has to be exceptional. Now, I made the point in the column, Steve. He's never been known for a big leg. He's not Sebastian Janikowski.
No.
What he is extremely accurate and reliable. And missing two makeable field goals. And, Steve, you saw the ball off the foot. They never had a chance. Those cook kicks never had a chance. Jason Light is holding his breath more than any Buck fan out there.
It's a very, very tough spot, Ira. And, I mean, just stepping back for a minute and, you know, now that you're part of the JoeBucksFan.com family, and we're very lucky to have you, I must say one.
Thank you.
I think
Thank
this
you.
Is your 1 month anniversary for you.
Thank you, my friend.
No gifts, though. Of course, no gifts. No gifts here at the headquarters. I sitting back as a Bucks fan, this is just like a head shaker, speechless kind of moment.
Absolutely, a headache we didn't anticipate. Absolutely,
because every other player on the roster that you draft gets time to develop. But you don't. A kicker does not get time to develop, nor should he need time to develop if you're going to draft him. And they have to be ready to go. There's no wiggle room of, oh, I'll give the guy six games to work it out. We saw what happened to Kyle Brinza, who had a monster leg. And all these guys kicking in the NFL were good kickers in college. So this is a very tough spot. If Aguayo doesn't snap out of this in the next couple of games, okay, because he'll kick in that fourth preseason game. Kickers kick. So he's got two more games. If he doesn't snap out, what do you think happens?
The dynamic is unbelievable, Steve. And Buck fans don't even want to think about this. Look, if this was Kyle Brinza or anybody else, he'd be on a short leash. Steve, he'd have a week or two to get this thing done.
He'd be on a
and
noose.
Turned around. But, Steve, I'm going to say it again. When you move up and you get slapped around the night of the draft for just doing it before he even kicked one time as a Buccaneer, and now he's struggling, and all the skeptics are heaping, you know, all these invectives on Jason Light that thought he was crazy beforehand. Yeah. Now they're emboldened, you know, when they see Aguayo. And I love Cutter's approach, Steve. No excuses. Everybody's got a job to do. A kicker's supposed to make kicks. He's got to make those kicks. I like that from Cutter. No excuses.
I like it a lot, too. And we know we would have heard every sort of platitude under the sun from Lovie Smith on
the
this.
Wind, you know, the stadium.
Yeah, right. Well, everything. But this is a national story.
Yes.
It really is a national story because it's so intriguing. It's a once-in-a-generation draft pick. Now we've got a once-in-a-generation mess that hopefully will go away. But, man, if it doesn't go away, do you march into Atlanta with a freaky cold kicker who's nervous, who didn't kick on the turf in college?
Steve, the reason that this guy is a Buccaneer is because he never misses a 39-yard field goal.
Right.
He never does. Or an extra point.
Now, I got a good question for you. I haven't delved into this yet. I might write it up on JoeBucksFan.com, but I got to talk to a couple of GMs. I'd actually like you to maybe tap a source or two, okay, since you have a few in your pocket.
Well, with the Browns coming in, maybe there's somebody around.
Maybe. I know you've got others, though.
I do.
If Aguayo did what he just did, these last two games, if he did that in his last two college games, where is he drafted?
He's a fifth-round pick, my friend.
That low? Or that high, rather?
Well, I mean, he would still have a good record, but not that, you know, indescribable record that Light likes to talk about. One more thing, Steve, and it needs to be said, even though we know it for a fact. Not only is Mr. Light watching Mr. Aguayo very carefully, but there are a bunch of brothers called the Glazer Boys who are also watching very carefully, and this all goes on Jason Light's resume. Now, I believe it's way too early to pass judgment on Roberto Aguayo, and I think you agree with me on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's an issue here when we never thought there'd be an issue.
Well, you know, it's Tuesday. We're going to have an answer in 9 days on Aguayo. We got two games in the next 9 days.
If he misses a couple of kicks in front of the home folks, Steve, it's going to get ugly Friday night.
Yeah, very ugly. Very ugly. It's train wreck viewing at this point. It's must see TV.
You know, we're only in August, so we don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah,
but
normally the extra point comes. I run over to the buffet here provided by the Glazers at the stadium, and now you got to watch.
And the Bucks don't blow anybody out, Steve, during the regular season. They need every 3 points they can get.
No, that's why they drafted him.
That's right.
That's why they drafted him. But I'll say this. You said Bucks fans don't want to think about it. It's all they're thinking about because it is that compelling. It's fascinating.
By the way, another thing they might be thinking about is Jameis Winston's accuracy.
0 for 6.
I didn't like the way he looked the other night.
0 for 6.
You know, and you edited my column, and I thought I made a strong point about that long sideline pass. Ditch that play, Mr. Cutter. Winston is not any good at it. As a matter of fact.
That was in your column.
That was in my column.
Yeah.
Don't use that play because you're supposed to accentuate a player's strengths.
Right.
Play to his strengths. That's not one of them. You got to throw that ball on a line. Flacco's good at it.
Yep.
Staubach was good at it. Elway, Marino. This is not Jameis Winston. He's good at some things, not that play.
This is part of the issue, Ira, is, you know, he comes out and you see the video at Buccaneers.com. He's the guy on Channel 8.
He's given the speech.
Yeah, yeah. He's given the rah-rah, and he comes out. And most likely they knew what the first play was going to be. I mean, they don't script the preseason, but first play, of course you know what's coming.
And he's not playing the 75 Pittsburgh Steelers defense.
Exactly. So he knows what's coming. Quick out, deep out to Vincent Jackson. It's there. And he throws a total dud, goes 0 for 6. You know, I don't believe anybody at one buck is questioning Jameis Winston, but if you want to be a franchise quarterback, you cannot do that. And I thought it was interesting to see Dirk Cutter be a little harder on Jameis in the postgame, just saying, like, you know, we can't have that either.
And not even, Steve, and not even to mention, Jacksonville's generosity was astonishing.
Astounding, yeah.
Astounding.
Yeah.
You know, here you got a coach fighting for his life, you know, in Gus Bradley, who you and I like. We knew him when he was with the Bucks. One of the great guys, a class act. But that's not going to help him, Steve. He's 12-36. He's got to win this year. And they go out, and I think it might have been 7 first downs through penalty, maybe in the first half, and 11 first half.
Yeah.
That first drive was an abomination.
Well, as a general fan, that first quarter of football was horrendous.
It really was.
I mean, it really was. Think about this, and I want to get your opinion on this here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, brought to you by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Definitely get to their websites to see all the incredible summer sales and specials, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Now, Ira, 3 penalties by the Buccaneers in the first 7 minutes. Okay, all of the brain-dead variety. Damar Dotson, false start on the first drive. Can't have that. Okay, this was not a loud crowd in Jacksonville, okay? Next penalty, it's on punt return. Good return by Humphreys. Called back. Special teams penalty by Jeremiah George.
Block in the back. Happens all the time.
Can't do that.
Okay.
And this guy, this is a first team special teamer, a guy who was on the team last year. Third penalty is Quan Alexander hitting Blake Bortles out of bounds on a first down play.
Reminded me of the Levante David play. Now the circumstances were different.
Circumstances different, but keep in mind, that's first down. That Levante David chases him down. At best, Bortles is looking at a 2-yard gain.
And Alexander hits him.
And Alexander belts him out of bounds. That's 3 needless, senseless penalties in 7 minutes. What's gotten better?
Look, I don't want to speak for you, Steve, but I'm going to speak for myself.
Of course.
I'm tired of these coaches talking about it, and it's still happening. Something's wrong. It's not getting through. It didn't get through for Lovie Smith. I believe both years they contended for the most penalties in the league.
Yep.
And Lovie Smith's supposed to be this great disciplinarian. Here comes Cutter. He saw the debacle from last year with all those penalties. Either they're not emphasizing it enough, Steve, or they're not being smart about it. The message is not getting through. Yes, the players are at fault, of course. They're the ones that have to execute. But I'm telling you, When Don Shula was the coach of the Dolphins, they went 10 years in a row in top five least penalties in the league. Is that a coincidence? Is that a total coincidence? The players changed.
No.
10 years in a row.
It's no coincidence. And what makes that, I'm glad you brought that up, is because Mike Smith, I forget the year, maybe it was 2010, least penalized team in the history of the NFL in a 16-game schedule with 52 penalties.
And they were very successful.
And I think a couple of years later, he had like 56 penalties compared to the Bucs had 140 last year. That's a big,
yes,
big gap. I know a lot of our listeners here, your loyal followers, your legions of Ira
Cup. 14,900 loyal followers now.
They are saying, hey, it's preseason, you're overreacting and all that. But I don't think so. I think we have to look for the signs that are worthy of an overreaction. And the offensive line, as you mentioned, was a positive overreaction. Yeah, they blocked really well, and that strength continued. But now this penalty stuff is continuing in
all phases. If you're a New England fan or an Arizona fan, you know, teams that have averaged 10 or 11 wins the last 3 years, been in the playoffs all the time. You can afford to step back from the preseason and say, hey,
sure,
Belichick's working on stuff.
Exactly.
Arians doesn't care. This is a different situation.
Very different.
Dirk Cutter's waited his whole life for this moment to be a head coach. He's got to show right from the start that this is a different ball club. He's got to show his bosses, who we know have not been particularly patient the last three coach arounds, especially the last two. And, you know, Cutter doesn't have 5 years to turn this thing around. He knows that. Look, the third preseason game, Steve, is always the most important. Guys will play. I think they're going to shut it down for the fourth game. They're going to shut it down.
Yeah, of course.
So,
of course,
you know, the fans that come out for this one, hopefully we'll see Winston for a half. And you know my favorite word, crisp. They've played two games. I haven't seen crisp.
Two questions for you on things you already touched on here. Going back to the offensive line, Evan Smith gets the start on against the Jaguars, whereas it was Hawley against the Eagles. Now, Smith played well. They ran well. They blocked very well. Jameis wasn't rushed. Do you think he's won the job? What do you think's going on there?
I'm already on record saying I think Hawley's going to win that job because how well the line played with him in the lineup all of last season. And Smith, to me, a valuable swing man at center and guard. Proved that he could fill in for Marpet last year for three games. And the O-line didn't take a dip. I might have to revisit that a little bit. I think Cutter's trying to be fair and keep it an open competition. I don't think investiture is a factor in this like it is in the tight end.
No, it's two free agents.
That's a good word, investiture. It's my word of the week this week. That's right. It's two free agents. Let the best man win. I'm still betting on Hawley, but you know what? Smith's not giving up here. He's digging in, and he wants that job. He's got a shot.
And now you invoked the Glazers
a
couple of times today. You're very Glazer-focused today.
I am.
Now, going back to Roberto Aguayo.
And by the way, they're very happy about the start of Manchester United. Just want to throw that out there to our listeners because they're 2-0 under a new coach.
Were you watching a little football with them, drinking some cognac? Is this how you know this?
I want to go to a Manchester United home game. I'm sure they won't have any trouble sneaking me into the owner's box, but I got to get myself over to Manchester. So I want to see what goes on. They sing those drinking songs, and I want to know what they're singing about.
Got it. That's good. It's a bucket list thing for you.
There you go.
Now, you mentioned the Glazers. You mentioned Jason Light, pressure, Aguayo. How do you think the Glazers will handle this Aguayo situation if it gets to a point where we're still talking about it in a couple of weeks? Do you think they completely stay out? Do they just walk into Jason and say, Jason, don't be afraid to cut him if you think that's right?
That's a very interesting concept, Steve. Sort of lift that weight off
right.
Light's shoulders.
And the coach.
That we're not going to hold it against you. You took a chance. Very interesting. I think they would do that rather than dabble and say, you got to make a change. In a very negative tone and an aggressive tone. That's not their style. They tend to be patient, Steve. They do. In certain areas, they're patient. Tampa Bay getting a Super Bowl, they're patient. I wish they were a little less patient and a little more sense of urgency. But they are paid. They say our day will come. And I think when it comes to personnel, generally, they're hands-off generally. But they do get involved on occasion. I don't think this is a spot where they're going to step in. I think they're going to leave it up to Cutter and Light to make a decision.
Yeah, it's so fascinating, Ira, because this could potentially, and we're not doomsaying anything here, but it potentially could become an issue between the head coach and the GM, because the head coach might say, look, well,
we got to bring in competition.
We need a kicker who can kick the ball. I mean, I don't care where he was drafted. And then you have that investiture, to use your word,
and a dynamic.
I'm going to have to look it up after the show here. But
those things happen, Steve. They happen
all the
time.
It's very interesting. Hopefully, look, he'll whack a few kicks through and everything's happy. But my goodness.
You know, a week from now when we're having another podcast, Steve, and if Aguayo's still struggling, all of a sudden we're at DEFCON 4. Because Atlanta will be on the horizon at that point. Sure. And as far as Buck fans are concerned, Steve, they don't care where he was drafted.
No.
They want somebody in there that can put the ball through the upright.
Although I will say there are a lot of Jason Light fans out there. There are also a lot of Roberto Aguayo FSU connection fans. So it's got an extra investment.
But they want W's, Steve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else out of the game you want to touch on? Or we're going to see you again Thursday after Cleveland Browns Bucks joint practice.
We'll talk for the practice. And Steve, sloppy. You know, NFL preseason, it's just not fair to gouge these fans. Something has to be done. Even Goodell says these games aren't up to our standards. When a commissioner starts talking like that, changes are on the horizon.
Yeah, it's really such an easy fix. You know, just take 25% off the preseason prices, half price, something. You know, it's not a challenging ball of wax there. They just have to be willing to do it.
And it never changes year to year. They're always bad games. I mean, always. Especially the first couple.
All right, it's been fun, Custodian.
All right, buddy.
You've been listening to the Ira Kaufman Podcast on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.